We're just men of constant reviews.
Wrong movie, wrong movie, wrong movie. No? No. No, no, I get your confusion.
Yeah.
Because this is the Coen brothers going back to the well again.
Yeah.
Saying like, hey, what we did for old time bluegrass, let's do that again for folk music.
Okay, fair enough. I fucked that up completely. That being said, we are the Unusual Suspects, and we are this review will be highly suspect, as all of ours are. We are reviewing the Coen brothers' latest Inside Llewyn Davis. I keep wanting to say Llewellyn, even
everybody wants to say Llewellyn Davis.
That's what I thought it was when the trailers first came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's Llewyn.
Because, show of hands. Has anybody ever heard the name Llewyn?
No.
That was spelt that way?
Even in the movie, they comment on it going like, what? What is that?
Yeah.
But don't worry about it. It's pronounced Llewyn. I don't know. I mean, when you actually phonetic it out, you're like, okay, so that does make more sense.
Yes, as much as Llewellyn does.
Something about it, when you look at the word, because it's the name you haven't seen before, the letters jump around, and you think, Llewellyn. No.
Yes.
No, I've just watched too many episodes with a flow going, kiss my grits.
Wait, how's that?
Llewellyn. Because it sounds like a southern name.
Oh my God.
Come on. I'm just going to continue.
You know,
on.
The most famous Llewellyn is Doug Llewellyn from the People's Court. The commentator who interviews the people after they lose.
Dumb, dumb, dumb.
Dumb, dumb, dumb. Well, anyway, getting away from the People's Court.
Well, let me say real quick, I'm Chris Cox.
I am JC DeLeon.
And I'm Martin Thomas. Ready to talk about the newest Coen Brothers movie, Inside Llewyn Davis. The Coen Brothers, once again, as I said, they go back to mixing music with a movie. And in this movie in particular, Inside Llewyn Davis, it focuses on pretty much a very important 3 days in the life of folk singer Llewyn Davis. And this is a guy played by Oscar Isaacs, a great Cuban actor who, is pretty well down in his luck. His folk singer partner has died. And things have just not been going well for him at all.
He's kind of a slacker.
He's not so much a slacker.
No, I'm sorry. He's not a slacker. He's one of those guys who was just starting to make it.
Right.
And when his partner dies.
Partner dies, it leaves him sort of in limbo. And Inside Llewyn Davis is the name of his first solo album. Except it's not quite catching on. Even though folk is a big deal, he's one of those guys who's in between the cracks. Where, like, there's people who recognize his talent and other people who don't know who the fuck he is. And so it's an important 3 days of, like, do I continue with this or not? He's completely broke. He's sleeping with his best friend's wife, who he's gotten pregnant.
Or was before the movie started.
Yeah, before the movie started.
She is pissed at him.
Yes.
She really hates him.
Boy, don't you want to smack her where she takes no personal responsibility for that.
even brings up that it takes two to tango, and she's like, nope, no, it doesn't.
No, it's all you.
He's like, really?
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing that life is taking a big shit on him, and as this goes on, you realize, well, you know what? It's not like he's a sweet guy who's having all this happen to him. Some of it is kind of brought on by his own personality. But it's all about watching a guy who, deserve it or not, is getting shit on for 3 days as he's trying to decide, should I go forward? For the Coen brothers, this movie, at least as I saw it, was a culmination of some of almost every film they've done all in one movie. I mean, it's so much of it is, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, certainly. I mean, yeah.
But there's a lot of A Serious Man in it.
And as much that this is not really a comedy, there's comedic aspects to it.
Sure.
Especially with the appearance of John Goodman later on in the film, who is the standout comedy moment in the film.
I will say this. I was going to get to that later, but there's about 15 or 20 minutes with John Goodman, and I haven't laughed that hard in maybe the last 3 years at a scene in a movie.
Look, it's a Coen Brothers film. At some point, John Goodman is going to show up, pull the tablecloth off the table, the flowers will still be standing, and it will be hysterical.
Now, Oscar Isaac does all his own singing and guitar playing in this. And it's really good. Now, I mean, I don't know if it's enough to make you go like, hey, I want to buy this album, but it's better than what Jeff Bridges did in Crazy Heart.
It's enough to make you want to buy the album.
Yes. I mean, it's great music. I mean, like these guys, they're doing all the stuff they love. But it's also, when I talk about A Serious Man, it's also where you have a main character who's dumped on over and over and over without relief. There's even a bit of Big Lebowski in it because it turns into a road film at some point.
Absolutely.
Where there's all these places where it could turn and go into an adventure. And a lot of it is a cock tease where it's like, oh, it's going to do this. And it goes, no, no, not going to do that. Not going to do that.
I mean, I'll say this. You like this film a lot more than I did.
Sure.
And certainly, I hate to say it. I feel like this is one of the weaker Coen Brothers films for me and the way it emotionally affected me.
Sure.
And the way I was affected by it. I came out of the end like, I still don't really give a fuck what happens to Llewyn Davis at the end of this.
Let me say this about what you just said. There are those films where you might disagree with someone who has that opinion. Like, I really like this film, and you're like, it didn't do that. And this is not one where I go like, no, man, you don't understand.
Yeah.
Because I totally get where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of the movie feeling that way, where I'm like, there's a lot of stuff in here I like, and yet it's not one of my favorites. It's not one of those I'll watch again. It wasn't until it got toward the end where I went, you know what? Now I do like this film more, and I do want to watch it again.
That's where I started getting worn down more for me towards the end, where it was like, I'm waiting for this character to have some sort of redemption, and I don't feel it ever really happened. I mean, for me, the high point of this film was the cat he carried around.
Oh, movie. Jesus. Yeah. That fucking cat.
Which I had an interview.
You interviewed the cat?
No, I had an interview with Oscar Isaac. I asked him about the cat, and he hated it. It was actually five different cats of different temperaments, depending on what they needed to do. But yeah, he wasn't an enjoyable experience for him.
He did not like the cat.
Yeah, it's which not I'm not surprised. Cat. Yeah.
Well, I love like Oscar Isaac. Almost every movie I've seen him in, except that one with Maggie Gyllenhaal, he's always played either a villain or a complete asshole. So watching him in this, I'm like, okay, well, he's able to do that again, even though he's the main character.
See, what's weird is every movie that I remembered seeing him in the last few years is a movie in which he does perform music. He was in a really cool movie called 10 Years that has a great cast that I'm sure nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah, I've not.
It's a high school reunion movie that stars Channing Tatum, Chris Pratt.
Really?
Wow.
Rosario Dawson. Yeah.
What?
Pull up the cast list for this. It's amazing.
There it is.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah, it's a really...
All you had to say was Rosario Dawson and Martin was on board.
Yeah.
It's a really great movie in which he plays a guy who became a famous musician and he comes back to the...
Lynn Collins is in this? Holy shit, I gotta see this movie.
Yeah, and everybody wants him to sing his famous song and he gets up on stage and he sings. So every movie I've seen him in, he's done this. And that's part of why I like this movie so much, because I like this actor and I know that he can do this. And
his start was playing in a band. So, yeah. Like, obviously that's where it came from. And I can't help but think that maybe the Coen brothers, and, halfway through this film, I was like, this feels like a movie where they really fell in love with this actor.
Right. Yeah, and they wrote the movie around him.
And my problem with this is like, where is, like, I've heard some people say, in a way that, like, wow, you're just getting started with the Coen Brothers because you obviously haven't seen many of their films. Like, it just meanders all over the place. It just goes places, and it's a bunch of things that happen and meeting quirky characters. I'm like, it's a Coen Brothers film.
Yeah.
They're all that way. But that being said, ultimately, I never felt a point where the character was changed or redeemed. Ultimately.
Well, let me say this. It's one of those movies where I don't think the main character is likable at all.
Yeah.
You start with him being not likable and you hope that he will be.
Yeah.
And for me, it wasn't until like almost like the last frame of the movie where I felt like I warmed up to him. But up until that point, no, so that keeps you away from it. But at the same time, and like, man, normally if I read somebody writing this, I'll get mad.
Yeah.
But I can say that as I was watching this film, it came over me. That's like, you know what? A film is not always about the plot. How the plot goes from A to B, or having that likable character. There's so much going on here that I'm just madly in love with that have nothing to do with the traditions of what I usually like about a film.
Warm up to him the most when he's on stage playing the guitar and singing, because quite frankly, he's incredible.
Yeah.
The soundtrack to this is beautiful. If you like folk music at all, and it's really kind of Americana folk music to be
specific. Absolutely.
He is so great at it. But the moment he stops singing, he does something shitty to somebody.
and the thing is, like, he totally plays into what I think of as my stereotype of musicians. Like, he's very much that all the way.
Yeah, but that's ultimately the point is, like, are we watching a documentary about a musician who's a great musician but a dick? that'd be fine, but he doesn't really exist as a musician. There is no Llewyn Davis that he's playing.
Even well, that's Oscar Isaac, and he can play.
He's a fictional guy in 1961 in Greenwich Village that the movie firmly places, especially towards the end, in this place of like, here's one of the probably hundreds and hundreds.
Oh, absolutely.
Of, you know, almost ran guys who are there.
Yeah. You know?
And I guess we should feel grateful to some extent that this guy, who's a really kind of a douche, didn't actually get successful, fictional or not.
Yeah, because who knows what would have happened with that character if he became a big success.
But it's one of those, like, you watch this and you go like, you know what? There's hundreds of Llewyn Davises who actually exist.
Yeah.
We just don't see them. But also another thing for me is like, when it comes to doing a period piece, I think the Coen brothers are the ace number one top guys at that. No, I think nobody captures that because they are able to capture a period of time in a way where they romanticize it, but don't at the same time. And they are able to dress their actors in a way where the actors wear the clothes. The clothes don't wear the actors, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
to
no,
you.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
And like, you just feel like, wow, it's like a time machine. Like, I'm transported there.
I know.
Look.
It's so frustrating because you're not saying anything that's wrong.
I know.
We're on the same page where, like, I can't criticize you at all for loving this film.
Right.
And you can't criticize me at all for being, like, meh about it. But I came out of that point where I was just started to get bored. It's like, there's no plot. He's just going through the series of experiences that, like, in the better Coen brothers films for me, like, end up coming up to some sort of like, wow, there was a point to all this. It all had something to say. This is more, it's a slice of life film, and I tend to like slice of life films when they're done as well as this is, except they usually have a character you can root for. I just wanted him to freeze to death in the snow more often than not, which he almost does.
He almost does.
Yeah.
What about you, JC?
I'm kind of in between, but I'm more with Martin. With Coen Brothers movies, they tend to, I tend to need a second viewing to really understand how I feel about them. Because some of them, A Serious Man, for example, I downright hated the first time I saw it.
Right.
And then I saw it like a year later. Now it's one of my favorites of theirs. This is one of their movies that I while I was watching it in the beginning, I think I felt a lot like Chris. But then towards the end, I was like, nope, I kind of really love this movie.
And I think that's key, because it's one of those where like everybody I know, and I don't mean like most people I know, I mean like everybody I know loves the Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
I love it
so much. But when I saw it, I felt about it the way you do about this.
Really? Do you like it now, though?
Well, I haven't gone back to watch it again. But I keep feeling like, well, maybe if I watch it again, it'll be that. And I can see with this movie how, much like JC, I felt like you did watching it for the first half of it.
And I will say flat out, beyond the shadow of the doubt, there's any directors you need to have two viewings
to really experience
their films and understand them, it's the Coen brothers.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of their films I was just, about the first time, and then saw a second time and was like, God, I love this movie so much, and I might see this again and be that way. I really don't know.
So many times you'll see a movie that you don't like and you'll easily be like, well, I'm never watching that again, but you can watch a Coen brothers movie that you hate and be like, well, I'm going to watch it again.
Yeah.
As well you should. I mean, they really are some of the, I mean, like 100 years from now, people will still be talking, and there'll be a history of film classes, and you'll probably see it. You'll definitely see at least one Coen film, Coen brothers film.
Oh, absolutely.
From this period of time. I mean, there's no question that you would. They are that good. They're that talented, and they're not. Not every film is for everybody, because guess what? A truly great director and artist doesn't make their films for
exactly.
that's really not how it works. Just every once in a while you get lucky and you get a film that goes across the board and everybody loves it and it really is genuinely that good of a film. But normally speaking, your goal is to just try and do a film that you love. And the Coen brothers do that very well. I don't know if this is one of their best. I'll find out when I see it for a second time. But I'll say this at the very least. Justin Timberlake is in this. I didn't even realize it was Justin Timberlake.
Oh, really?
Like, totally blanked out. I was like, it wasn't until my girlfriend was like, yeah, what'd you think of Justin Timberlake in that? I was like, In what? And the weird thing is he's like playing kind of like the in sync version of Justin Timberlake if he was a folk singer.
Well, you ever notice how Justin Timberlake, like to be such, you know, this guy that all the women love, every movie he's in, he always plays either the cuckold or somebody who is not the stud. He's kind of a, like, you know, kind of a schlub.
He's not a leading man quality of actor at this point in his life.
Right.
I don't think he's a terrible actor, but I think he's...
He's not...
He's trying, but he doesn't have the charisma as an actor, certainly as a singer, but not as an actor, to be a leading man and stuff and succeed. But he seems to be one of the guys who's great at those type of roles. Yeah. Like the schlub guy, the guy's the secondary guy, the guy gets killed early in the movie.
Or somebody sleeping with his girlfriend or takes something from him.
And he's playing another role just like that here. As well, Carrie Mulligan, who is certainly one of those actresses who is... It's hard to even call her up and coming anymore. She's been in one film after another that critics have been
really I will say I have a problem with Carrie Mulligan's role. Not with her acting.
Yeah.
But she plays such like a two-dimensional, you know, angry shrieking Harridan, as you often say.
Yeah, shrieking Harridan.
Yes.
That's my exact term.
Yes, I know. I'm giving you props for it. Correct. I'm just saying. But she's kind of like that character all the time. You fucking asshole. You this.
Yeah.
And so you want her to like, come on, give him some quarter at least a little bit.
Like her purpose in the film seems to be to set up from the beginning the fact that there's a long history with this guy fucking over everyone he knows.
Right.
Yeah.
And fucking them, literally, in some cases. And I think they overplay the hand.
Yes, yes. That's one thing I would give you.
Yeah, because you get the sense that he's not the greatest guy, but he's not necessarily an asshole to everyone, but the only one that calls him an asshole several times is Carrie Mulligan's character.
And sometimes in one single scene.
Right.
She's like the Dennis Farina in Get Shorty. They say the fucking reason the fucking sunsets are so fucking beautiful is the fucking pollution. Only with asshole talking about it.
It was a character on Nip Tuck like that, where it's just like, sweetheart, okay, enough. We get it. You don't like the guy.
We got it. I don't know. I mean, like I said, it plays. It's not like the film is heavy-handed at all.
No,
it really isn't. It's kind of just meandering. It's got a sort of. It reminds me a lot of seeing On the Road, the version of that, the film that got made recently, which was like just a little bit too loose, just a little bit too like. Hey, it's just a free spirit. And yeah, they're assholes, but they're free spirited and they're doing, making me, like, they're creating beautiful things. I was like, you know what? We're not in the same era anymore and it doesn't translate to me. I'm just kind of like, fuck that guy. I ended up at the end of it just kind of feeling outside of the music and wanting to pet the cat really bad because it was a cute cat, gorgeous cat. And John Goodman being so funny in his sequence.
I was laughing to the point where I was hurting and I was just like, I almost wanted him to like leave the screen because I was like, I'm in pain right now. Well, I've never laughed this hard.
The old New Orleans jazz man who's like, oh, you're in folk. How quaint.
Yeah.
We use all the notes in our music.
The way,
which I couldn't help but go like, that's true.
But they're like, to have this guy that you're beholden to because you have to give him a ride. You need money from him. Who's just going to fuck with you the whole ride.
Yeah.
It hit me in a way that I was not expecting.
I was laughing pretty hard at that sequence. But let's go into final judgment here. Martin, what do you think?
Well, my final judgment is it's not a perfect film. It's not one of the Coen's best, but it is a really good film. And as JC has brought up, it's worth watching. Even, no matter how you feel about it, it's worth watching a second time. Because there's so much here to appreciate and enjoy. And... You know, on a second viewing, you might get past the things that bother you before and just look at everything else there. And as I said, when I was starting to watch it, in the beginning, I was thought like, eh, but by the end, I was in love with it. And I'm going to give it 4.5 out of 5 bongos.
How about you, JC?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. It, the relationship that I have with Coen Brothers movies and being so, not wishy-washy, but just, it changes a lot. For one of their first movies, it did that for me within the first time viewing. But by the end, I really loved it a lot. I've been compiling my year-end list, and as it stands right now, this is currently my number 2.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I would say 8 out of 10 Guitar strings.
Damn you! I was looking that up for me! Now I've got to reconfigure my whole ending review. All right. Well, you know, you guys have already, you guys have already pretty much heard, like, my opinion about this. I feel like I admired a lot of things about this movie and the way it was done, and I loved the shit out of the soundtrack, which of course is going to depend to some degree for you how you feel about classic Americana folk. It's just done, and when these scenes are done, so heartfelt and so emotional, and the lead actor in this film, Oscar Isaac, does it so well, so profoundly, that I just, you get swept up into those moments when he's actually singing on stage. But I felt like his journey as a character left me kind of cold, like some of the supporting characters along the way. But ultimately, I thought this was kind of a lesser, Coen Brothers film that's mainly hyped up by the quality of the soundtrack that goes with it. It felt like them trying to return to their success of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, with that mix of a great period piece and a great soundtrack, period piece soundtrack, and yet it's nowhere near as strong as that for me. So I'm going to get a bit 3 Dead Musicians in the Snow.
See, that was funnier.
We forced you to dig within yourself and come up with something.
You guys are so great. Let's record a song together.